This is listener-supported public radio. You are tuned to KBBI Homer, AM 890. The time is 9:01. Ooh, make that 9:02 a.m. And this is the regular Thursday COVID brief. Let's see who's on the line. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, are you there?
I'm there. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you. How about Mary Darbone, public health nurse at the Homer Public Health Center and for the Department of Alaska, the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. And Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer.
Good morning, everybody.
And how about Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District? Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, everybody. I want to start with Peggy Erkineff. I've got some questions that are lined up. But KBBI reported a KDLL story this morning where Borough Mayor Charlie Pierce has used another radio station and his online social media persona and has put out some incorrect information about masking in the school district. Pierce said that the time had come to end masking in the schools. And Peggy Erkineff, I'd kind of like for you to clarify that masks for all students have not been required in the schools for over a week now. I think it's over 2 weeks. Isn't that correct?
So, correct. So we eased up on the mask requirements for all ages beginning on the 7th of April during recess. So anytime that students are outside at recess, there's no mask needed. And then if physical distancing can be maintained during PE and all those outdoor activities that classes do, masks are not needed either.
Thanks so much, Peggy Erkineff. I just wanted to give you the opportunity to clarify or say whatever you like about how the school district makes its determinations about masking and about all COVID mitigation processes.
Thank you. I think it's good to revisit that. When we started the school year, we were following CDC guidelines for schools and opening them safely on site. We worked closely with the Department of Education for the state and the Department of Health and Social Services. And I think there was a lot that went on last fall that nothing is mandated from the state, but there were guidelines. And the DEED and HESS both reviewed our plans and gave good suggestions. So we're operating under those five things that the CDC says, and that includes universal and correct use of masks, physical distancing, frequent hand washing and sanitization, extra cleaning of surfaces and facilities, and then people staying home from school or work when they're sick. So for opening our schools on site, those five elements are really critical. We have our symptom-free school protocols in place. And then we are not a lone ranger in the state of Alaska. Every school district is requiring a cloth face covering indoors at school, unless it's a really small district or school off the road system where there's no COVID in the community. There's a few places like that.
Okay, thanks, Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. I know you have another meeting to get to. Is there anything new or just information you'd like to share with people today before we move on to talk about vaccinations?
Sure. We do have our enrollment survey open. So if people know what they think that they are going to be planning to do in August, please fill that out. It's not a be-all, end-all. We're just gauging what the intent of families are so we can make sure we've got our staffing at all our schools.
Thanks. That's Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Thanks for making some time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on.
Sure. Now I'm going to move to Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital and Mary Darbone from the Homer Public Health Center, because Dorotha, this last week has all been about the Janssen vaccine. Let me start by saying this vaccine is known by a lot of names. There's the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. the Janssen vaccine. These are the same thing. And it's Janssen or Janssen is just the European arm of Johnson & Johnson. So when you hear about either one of those, they're talking about the same vaccine. And DeRotha, has South Peninsula Hospital pulled all of its Janssen vaccine due to one person dying from a blood clot?
Thanks, Kathleen. So yes, the hospital has suspended administering any of the Johnson & Johnson vaccines based on the recommendations from the CDC and the FDA to pause on administering those in the United States. So we paused those. We did have some folks scheduled for those vaccines this Saturday, and so we reached everybody and either offered to postpone their appointment until the FDA and CDC determine what the future holds for that vaccine, or offer a different brand manufacturer, which right now we have Pfizer. So we had pretty good luck in reaching all of those folks. This particular vaccine in Alaska and the Southern Peninsula has not been highly available, so I can't say we've not seen or administered a lot of that. As of the announcement 2 days ago, we had administered 125 total doses, and the Johnson & Johnson is a single dose vaccine, so that means 125 individuals had received it. But almost half of those received it over a month ago. And so they are out of the window of any needing to pay attention to symptoms that are unusual.
Okay, and before we move on to this Saturday's vaccination clinic and appointments at the Test and Vaccine Center at 421 Bartlett Street, I want to bring Nurse Mary Darbone into the conversation, because I'd like to hear from you if you could talk a little bit about possible reactions to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in particular, but of all available vaccine, because there have been reactions, less than one in a million people who got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine have had an adverse reaction. And the problem was, I understand it, blood clots. And I just want to say that, you know, I took birth control for decades that had a higher incidence of blood clots than this vaccine does. So, Mary, can you talk a little bit about the risk and the frequency or rarity of reactions?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Kathleen. I first want to just acknowledge that, you know, it can be scary to hear in the news things like this when you may not have the full context, or we all may not have the full context of the situation. I know a couple of my siblings had recently gotten the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. My sister in particular called me frantically, and she was very concerned when the news came out. And maybe some of you are feeling the same way. So here's what you should know. Through our VAERS reporting system, that's the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, there were 6 cases of something called cerebral venous sinus thrombosis. And they were detected between 18 and 48-year-old women. And I like to think of our VAERS system kind of like a smoke detector. So most of the time, the smoke detector is sitting there analyzing information, but when it detects even the slightest amount of smoke, it sends off an alarm. And when the alarm goes off, that triggers first responders to immediately take action and look for the fire. And so the good news is that our smoke detector works, because it detected a 1 in a million chance of this rare type of blood clot and happening. So there were 7 million doses of Johnson & Johnson given nationwide, and there have been 6 cases of this rare clotting disorder. So your chances of contracting this from the J&J vaccine are extremely low. But if you did recently receive the J&J vaccine, so within the past 6 to 13 days, you should be looking for the following things. So severe headaches, backaches, any new neurological symptoms, abdominal pain, shortness of breath, leg swelling, and any type of rash or bruising. So that's what you should look for this 6 to 13 days, and after that, you're in the clear. And I'd also recommend, if you are concerned and you have received the vaccine in that time period, that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in that time period, that you reach out to your healthcare provider. And I will just address, Moderna and Pfizer vaccines are still completely safe. They have shown no safety concerns, zero deaths, and they're really highly effective. So this pause has only been with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Other vaccines, we still really encourage folks to schedule or go through with their appointments for those vaccines.
Thanks. That's Mary Darbone from the Homer Public Health Center, public health nurse for the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. If you have questions, you may call 235-7721. Someone is standing by at the phones right now, or you can email your question to kathleen@kbbi.org. Now, I want to get back to Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, because there is plenty of vaccine available in town. And can you talk about what's available? Are there still appointments available for Saturday? Oh, Dorotha, you're way low. I've just lost all your volume. Are you away from your mic?
I'm back.
There you are.
So this Saturday, we are having a clinic at the high school, and it's a mix of folks with appointments or walk-ins. So you can either walk in from 9 to 11, and that will be for a Pfizer vaccine. That is a two-dose vaccine, and so at the time of getting your first dose, then we will schedule you for your second dose. And then this is also a second dose clinic for folks who already got their first dose. So it's a little bit of a mix, but we have plenty of availability at the high school this Saturday morning. But also we have lots of availability at our COVID care site on Bartlett Street. So that is at 4201 Bartlett Street. And we do both vaccines and testing there. Mm-hmm. And starting tomorrow, we are offering daily walk-in vaccine. So yes, you can set an appointment there, but you are also welcome to just walk in if you got the time and the moment hits you to go get your vaccination. You can just head over there. It's at 4201 Bartlett Street, and starting tomorrow, every day, 9 to 5, we will offer walk-in vaccines. Every day, 9 to 6, we offer walk-in testing. So the why is the time difference? The time difference is because the testing is a pretty quick experience, but the vaccine experience takes a little longer. You have a little more paperwork to fill out. There's time to sit and visit with the COVID nurse, ask some questions. And then after your vaccine, you're observed for anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes, depending on your health history and situation. So it's a little longer experience. So although the station is open until 6, we're only taking walk-ins until 5.
Thanks, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. And sphosp.org is the place to go to make your appointments. Also, if you want to speak to a COVID nurse, or if you're coming in for a test, you can call 235-0235. And also, if you don't have a computer or you need help navigating the computer sign up, you can also call that number, 235-0235. So there are a few questions sitting in my queue, one of which is, my daughter got her first dose of Moderna in another state. How do we schedule a second shot here in Homer? I know that Ulmer's Pharmacy had the Moderna vaccine, so I have sent that woman an email with a contact for Ulmer's. But I also wanted to check in with you, Dorotha Ferraro. Is that a possibility through sph.org?
Availability of the different brands changes based on what we have. And so I am going to look, I'm going to toss the microphone to the next question while I look on my paperwork to see when and how much available is for Moderna. However, I will say that yes, we are being super flexible. If somebody needs a second dose, we will make that happen for them. And if we don't have it, we will put you in touch with other vaccine vendors in the community that might have it. So the group of vaccine providers in the community, they have a group chat text set up so that if we can't, if one of us can't help you, we try to connect you to somebody that can.
Okay, thanks a lot. And I will move on to the next question. And then if you find out when the next batch of Moderna is coming, just let me know. This one is for Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer. Mm-hmm. Ordinance 21-22 passed on Monday at the Homer City Council meeting. What will that mean for the city and Unified Command's efforts? And also, will there be a vaccine clinic set up at the airport?
Great. Thanks for the question. Yes, that ordinance was to have city council's approval to accept grant funds from the state of Alaska Department of Health and Social Services to help offset expenses that are associated with all the vaccine efforts that we talk about every week now on KBBI. So that includes that the financial support includes for the mass pod clinics that have been going on in April and any coming up. Right now, we're not really planning any more mass pod clinics, but if the need arises, it would help with that. And going forward, smaller events, which are still in the planning stages. So it's funds to help offset the costs of that distribution. So it's a great idea on the airport location. We have a small planning group that meets regularly to plan how to increase access to COVID-19 vaccine across the Southern Kenai Peninsula in the South Peninsula Hospital service area. So we try to stay nimble and flexible on how best to get the vaccine out through various venues to reach people who want them. So we don't have definite pop-up locations and times determined at this point. We've had one at the food pantry last week, but we are looking forward to doing one that's focused on high school students, since the Pfizer vaccine is one that is authorized for the 16-year-olds and up. And we're also looking to do a couple in May, probably in the harbor on the Homer Spit area, to help reach our commercial fishing and sport fishing and focus on seasonal workers who'll be coming here to Homer. So we're gearing up for spring just like everybody else. And moving forward, we'll just try to strategically plan, stay flexible and creative in how we offer vaccines to the community. And these funds help us do that.
Thanks. That's Jenny Carroll for the city of Homer. And a caller has asked a question asked to repeat the COVID nurse line. So that's for South Peninsula Hospital to speak to a COVID nurse or to tell them that you're coming in for a test. It's 235-0235. But also there is a line, an information line for the city of Homer. Is that still active, Jenny Carroll?
Yes, the COVID vaccine line has moved to being a recording that will direct you to the COVID care clinic nurses at the hospital, and we'll have information about upcoming opportunities. It's no longer staffed for signing people up for appointments since we're moving beyond these mass clinics. But there is a general information line for general COVID questions, travel questions, for the city of Homer.
Thanks so much. Now, here is a question. Dr. Ann Zink, this one's for Mary Darbone from the Homer Public Health Center, public health nurse. Dr. Zink told the Fairbanks Daily Newsminer this week that 5 to 10 vaccinated people a day are getting infected with COVID in Alaska. Can you make it clear that the vaccine doesn't keep you from getting COVID? It keeps you from dying from it.
Yeah, great question. So the COVID vaccine, all three of them, were created with the goal to help decrease death, right? We want to see the virus of COVID-19 have, less people die from it. So it wasn't necessarily created to help decrease transmission and spread of the virus. However, we do see it doing that pretty well, which is a huge added benefit. So people can still get COVID after getting the vaccine. However, most people who have contracted COVID after being fully vaccinated, they've had little to no symptoms. And so the chance of death with little to no symptoms is extremely low. And so that's probably where Dr. Zink was speaking from.
Okay, thanks so much. And the number to call if you have any questions is 235-7721, or you can email Kathleen@kbbi.org. I want to get back to Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital because I'd like to hear about positivity rates this week over the last 2 weeks, and also about how many people are getting vaccinated, the percentages. And then, Mary, I'm going to ask you about the state numbers after that. Dorotha, do you have those local numbers for South Peninsula Hospital's efforts?
Yes. Hey, I wanted to just follow up on what you and Mary were talking about, too, about testing positive, even though you're fully vaccinated. And then we said, and a lot of those people are asymptomatic, and a listener might be scratching their head going, what? What are you talking about then? Why? How do they know they're sick? Or how do they know they have it? So just remember that all healthcare, or a lot of healthcare, I should say most, still requests COVID testing prior to procedures. And that is a window where many of the fully vaccinated are showing up as testing positive. So when Mary says, well, and many don't, you know, even have symptoms, that's one of the ways that the state and the nation is learning about that, as well as even employer requirements. As the summer season starts and more employees are showing up and opening up businesses and everything, part of some opening strategies is testing. And so we're, you know, people are seeing it through there too. So just a reminder to listeners who aren't in the testing business that there's lots of reasons to test, not just because one feels sick. So, and actually the state just expanded testing offerings a couple weeks ago. You can test if you've been in a crowded environment, indoor crowded environment, that maybe you didn't feel quite safe in. You can test 5 days after that. Or if you've been, I can't remember what the second one is, but the state is getting much broader with the testing requirements or offerings. So as far as positivity rate, we have resulted 334 tests in the last week. And of those tests, we had 3 positive. So we remain at about a 1% positivity rate here, which was, I think, about where we were last week as well. But peninsula-wide, the peninsula numbers are creeping up. So positivity rate on the peninsula is higher than that. But locally, through the hospital testing services, we are at a 1% positivity rate.
Well, how much?
The vaccine team has been... Go ahead.
How much higher is it, above 5% on the peninsula?
I am multi-screening here, Kathleen, so let me get that one that one open.
Well, go ahead. You go ahead.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, you asked about vaccine numbers.
Yes.
I will say that the hospital, through Unified Command, we have given 6,176 total doses. So that's awesome. And Mary can report out like on the community-wide numbers. I'll toss the microphone to her while I'm looking at borough positivity rates.
Okay, Mary, you ready for that?
Yeah, let's go over. So COVID vaccine numbers on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. So this would mean anywhere from Nanalchik south across the bay and towards the head of the bay. And I just have to put a couple disclaimers here. These are approximate numbers. Our local vaccine providers in the area are reporting their numbers of vaccine they have given to me and to Lorne here at the Public Health Center. And it's not always perfect. And what it doesn't include is if someone left the Southern Kenai Peninsula to go get their vaccine, these numbers wouldn't be included here. And if someone drove down from, say, Anchorage for whatever reason to get their vaccine, they would be included. So these numbers aren't perfect. These numbers are including all three vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, which is the one that's on pause now. But here are the numbers. So total doses given on the Southern Kenai Peninsula is 9,381 doses. And the number fully vaccinated, so that means they've had both of their doses, is about 4,442. So this means about 30% of the Southern Kenai Peninsula's total population is fully vaccinated. And we count from 0 years old all the way up through for our population number. So as you all probably know, ages 0 through 16 currently aren't eligible for that, but we still include them in our numbers because we're looking at herd immunity, and herd immunity will include those younger populations as well.
Thanks. That's public health nurse Mary Darbone. A caller has asked if the 5 to 10 positive tests per day could be caused by the vaccine itself and the effect on the body. So Mary Darbone from Homer Public Health Center, can you address that? Is there any evidence of the vaccine itself causing the positive tests?
Great question. And there's actually no possible way that the COVID vaccine, the way that it works in your body, it cannot cause you to pop up as a positive test. It just doesn't, it's not how the vaccine works. It's not a live virus. So it doesn't actually have the ability to do that. If I were to predict why we're seeing an increase in numbers, you know, I haven't lived in Alaska for too long, but I do know in the summer months, we start coming out of our caves and becoming more social. And so it's just really important to remember during this season when the sun is shining and we want to get out and socialize, to just remember COVID is still out there, and it's important to continue with those mitigation efforts that we've been doing for the past year. And hopefully, as we see more vaccines available and given in our community, we'll see less and less of these numbers.
Thanks so much. That's Nurse Mary Darbone from the Homer Public Health Center. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, do you have an update for me?
I do. So the Kenai Peninsula Borough positivity rate is 4%. So that's increasing. When you look at the state has an awesome dashboard, if you will, of different data points that they track. One of them is positivity rate by state, and then you can break it down by borough. And so it certainly is increasing. At the beginning of March, for example, it was down to under 1%. And now at the borough level, we are over 4%, 4.1%.
And trending upward, it looks like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer, before we close out today, I've kind of shorted you on time. Is there any information from the city that you'd like to share today?
Well, I'd just like to share a reflection on today's show. It's been so great to be able to take questions from the community and answer them in as nuanced and honest in this format. It's so great. And if anyone out there, you know, has questions about whether the vaccine is right for you or not, it may not be right for everyone. It's really great to reach out to South Peninsula Hospital nurses there at 235-0235 or your healthcare provider to ask those questions, because there are a lot of questions around this vaccine question. It is undoubtedly a great tool in our tool belt to really get on top of COVID and get our lives back to normal. But there are a lot of questions, and to talk to someone you trust in the health field is a great way to understand whether it's right for you or not. So I appreciate this venue, and if you're out there still wondering, is it right for me? There's a lot of people there willing to hear your concerns and questions and address them so you can make that decision for yourself. So thanks for this venue.
Thanks. That's Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer. Anything that you'd like to add for today, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital?
Yes, I would like to follow up with what Jenny just said there, and an opportunity to talk and ask questions will be offered at Saturday's vaccine clinic. We know that the headlines really could make somebody who maybe wasn't quite certain about getting vaccinated right now, or which vaccine to get, or, and you know, just might have already had questions in their mind, and seeing these headlines and maybe not reading completely what it all means might make a person have fair questions. And we are setting up the Saturday event at the high school to have a complete information station that will be staffed by a provider, so that when you come to the vaccine clinic with an appointment or walk in, there is plenty of space before you commit to have a conversation with a healthcare provider, a local healthcare provider. And we'll have a lot of printouts and materials there to help you if you need additional resource. But, you know, we just really want to make things easy for folks. And so even if you have a question, come this Saturday from 9 to 11 to our walk-in event. You don't have to get vaccinated to come in. You can come in and visit with a provider, ask questions, and stay and get vaccinated or not. So we just really want the information and the opportunity to ask questions to be easy for folks.
Thanks. That's Dorotha Ferrara from South Peninsula Hospital. And Nurse Mary Darbon, do you have anything you'd like to add today before we close?
Oh, I would just love to echo what both Dorotha and Jenny said. You know, we're here for you. We're here to answer your questions. We know there's so much information out there, and it can be really challenging to navigate. So I'm looking forward to that event on Saturday and being able to answer questions more personally. I know I got the Moderna vaccine. I've been fully vaccinated for several weeks now, and I can tell you it feels really good to have done my part in the fight against this COVID pandemic. And I feel great about being able to do things safely, like compete in the Winter King tournament this weekend on a boat with some friends. So the vaccine really does make a difference, and it makes me feel safe and being able to interact with the community. And that's all I have. Thanks for having me, Kathleen.
Thanks. That is Nurse Mary Darbon from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and the Home Republic Health Center. Thanks to all the guests this morning, Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, and Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. This has been your regular Thursday COVID brief.